Hi, I'm Christian McBride, and I'm sitting in for Mary McPartland, and my guest today is the amazing pianist Marcus Roberts. He's got the history of jazz at his fingertips. He could play everything from Jelly Roll Morton to Thelonious Monk and just about anything in between. Marcus Roberts, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thank you so much. It's good seeing you, Christian.
It's great seeing you, too, as always. It's amazing how your career has developed through the years. We first met in the mid-'80s.
Right, in Philly, right?
That's right. And I've just always admired your work, and you've taught me a whole lot, as well as musicians of my generation. We've always looked to people like yourself and Wynton as, you know, you guys gave us so much inspiration. We were coming on the scene, guys like Roy Hargrove and right. Nicholas Payton and myself, and thank you.
Oh,
that's
man.
All I could say.
No, man, it's my pleasure. You all have done a lot for us, too, because when we first started, you know, we just didn't have that many people who wanted to play, but now we have a bunch of great young talent, and you know, you're out here, and Josh Redman and them are still out here, you know, so we, you know, I feel like we got more of a real scene, kind of like how it used to be more in the old days a little bit.
Well, Marcus, if you wouldn't mind, would you bless us with a song?
Sure.
Speaking of where we first met in Philadelphia, there is a little inside joke with all of the guys that Hoagy Carmichael would be from Philly. Get it? Hoagy?
Oh, sorry. Anyway. Good humor, Christian.
So how about a little nearness of you?
Sure.
Before we ask you to play another tune, would you mind telling us the story about how you met Wynton?
Sure. The funny thing, when I first met Wynton's father, Ellis Marsalis, in Chicago, because I remember Chicago in 82, because it was, I've never been that cold in my life, man. I mean, you could freeze to death in less than a minute.
Yes.
So it was then, and his group was... It just came out with his first record called Wynton Marsalis. And,
right.
So, man, we heard that band with Kenny Kirkland and Branford and them. And I was like, man, I got to stay in touch with this cat. So I talked to we call him E.
Right.
I talked to Mr. Marsalis, and he gave me Wynton's number. And at first, I used to talk to him over the phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could kind of tell that he didn't really want to talk to me that much. So he'd be like, well, man, so finally he was like, well, man, what are you dealing with? I mean, are you working on stuff? I said, well, I'm working on some stuff, you know. I said, well, man, how can I get out here and play? He says, get out here and play. He said, I don't know. He says, you need to practice. So anyway, we go back and forth for a few years. And finally, I remember he told me, he said, well, if my piano player, Kenny Kirkland, ever leaves, I'll call you to do some gigs. And I think at the time he was just saying that.
Now, he hadn't heard you at this point, had he?
He had.
Okay.
But he was not impressed. And so, you know, but he sent me some Monk records. I mean, he's part of what got me in the Monk. He sent
sure.
me some Monk records. He said, man, check this out, you know. And we, you know, we would talk. But it was really more the intellectual component of it. He had no particular respect for my musical ability at that time. So once I finally sat, I remember I even came to New York and sat in with him at the Village Vanguard.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, Kenny Kirkland was playing just a ridiculous amount of piano that week. Oh, I mean, I wish there was documentation of that.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Anyway, so I really was considering quitting after that week. I just said, well, this is really a waste of time. I'm obviously never going to reach what this is. But he came to Tallahassee, Florida, which is where I was going to school, maybe 3 or 4 months later. And I sat in there, and of course, you know, you hometown, you home, you know.
Right.
And so everything felt a lot more relaxed and comfortable. And so a few months after that, he asked me to come out and do some gigs. And I remember I called him on the phone. I said, man, this is great. I said, well, I said, you know, they sent me all these tapes. And I said, well, man, how much of this should I learn? He said, everything. I'm like, what?
You're right.
So I was like, yeah, but I don't really know. He said, look, I don't have time to get into it, bro. Learn the music. I'll see you in 2 months.
Wow.
And that's kind of where it started. And after the first week of kind of hanging out, we just became very close and tight. And it's, you know, it's just been that way because we do see things philosophically, I think, in very similar ways.
Yes.
Even though he is viewing it, you know, from a perspective of trumpet player, and I'm always, so we always have these playful debates about trumpet and piano, you know,
right.
Which instrument is more relevant, all this stuff. But you know, it's always in the interest of artistic inspiration. And
yes.
As you know, musicians are funny. I mean, we like to debate and talk and go back and forth. And,
absolutely.
And that's what I think inspires the music when we play together and improvise as a group.
That friendly fire.
Yeah, I think so.
That's right. Yeah. You mentioned that the first thing that you heard on that radio show when you discovered jazz for the first time was Duke Ellington.
Right.
And, of course, Duke Ellington is the backbone of all of this music.
For sure.
How about a little Ellington for us?
Sure, I'll do Mood Indigo, which Russell Proko, clarinet player that played with Duke, said they played it every night. He was there for 27 years, so
right
this
on.
Is Mood Indigo.
It's been so long since we've actually played together. I'm just itching right now. I
can't
wait.
Right.
How about a little Just Friends?
Sounds great, man. Let's do it.
Is there a point in your career where there was like a watershed moment? Because I think everybody has that, even if it's not just dealing with art, but just dealing with life in general, where one day you wake up and go, ah, now I figured it out.
Yeah, I think obviously when I went out with Winton, that was one. I think when I did the Portraits in Blue recording and I first started doing stuff with orchestra, you know, that was one. I believe when I started my trio with Jason Marcellus and Roland Guerin, I mean, that was certainly a moment as a group when I really wanted to figure out if I could put a great band together and figure
yeah.
out what's involved in that, what does that entail. And I think finally, of late, teaching, I think that's done a lot for my playing.
That could definitely trigger a different type of thing when you start teaching, right?
Yeah, because your job is to figure out how to bring something that you figured out of somebody else
right.
who may not have your experiences to draw from.
Right. Right.
So it's almost like you got to figure out not just how to teach them, but you got to figure out how to use what they know to get it across to them.
That's right. And that's a hard job.
It is.
What's some other things you have going on right now?
Well, there's also another trio record that is a suite of music that was commissioned by Chamber Music America called From Rags to Rhythm. And in this suite, I try to kind of show the influence that just the feeling of ragtime has had on our group specifically and kind of the history of the music. And also we use it as a chance to kind of showcase our trio philosophy, which is that the bass and drums are out front. And we really, really try to use some pretty sophisticated improvisation through cues and themes that happen throughout the suite.
Yes.
So that's one project. And then there's a solo piano recording of just pretty ballads that I've always played and enjoyed playing called A Touch of Romance. And there Mood Indigo is on it, and The Nearness of You is on it, and Hidden Hues is on it. You know, so some of the things are on that one as well. So we have that, and also I'm going to redo Deep in the Shed, which I did 20 years ago. And,
oh, man.
Yeah.
What a great album.
So I want to redo that because it's changed a lot over the years.
Uh-huh. Well, this has been such a treat to sit here and talk with you and make music with you and reminisce and
it's
all of this good stuff.
Been very, very enjoyable. And I got to say, you got a great kind of natural conversational style of interviewing, you know.
Oh, thank you, my man. Man, I was wondering if we could end the day with a song that means a lot to me, man. As I said before, when your first solo record, The Truth Is Spoken Here, was released, that was a very important record for myself and a lot of other cats who I was hanging with at that time, like Joey DeFrancesco.
Right.
And Country by Choice was one of our anthems at that time. So I was wondering if we could end the day by back and playing that.
I would love to, man.
Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.